darkened world were formed, your breathing life was born. You knew that one day you would come. So far from heaven's throne, clothed in human form, you showed the world the Father's love. You gave again your life away.
Us who believe those words, that he gave his life away, that he conquered sin and death through his sacrifice on the cross for us. For those of us that agree with that statement, we also know that there isn't a moment, there isn't a second in a day that we do not need him with us.
Lord, I confess, bowing here I find my rest, and without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. mass. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
It's a hot summer day. It's at a pool. It's a big pool that has a tower, and the tower has a diving board. And that day, that afternoon, you watch, and you watch a young girl. She's maybe 10 years old, and this girl is making her way up the tower with a lot of other boys and girls. But you can tell that this is likely the first time she's going to be diving from that tower. She seems excited but very apprehensive. And she gets up to the top of the tower, and it's her turn to go out on the diving board. And she's very hesitant, and yet you can tell that she wants to experience the excitement the other boys and girls have experienced as they've dived off the board. And you watch as she edges her way on that diving board. And then all of a sudden, she is immobilized. It's like she's frozen. Her friends in the pool are urging her on. You can do it. You can do it. Some boisterous boys behind her who are waiting for their turn are urging her on, but in a different way. Come on, you're wasting our time. Anyways, the girl is there. 10 seconds seems like 10 minutes. And then she makes her move. Spins right around. Walks off the board and down the steps of the tower. You can tell she's experiencing a little bit of relief. You experience relief when you avoid risk. But you know for this girl that there's great disappointment. She's discouraged as she hangs her head. And you think, oh, what a sad failure. It's the next afternoon. It's a hot summer, and it's the next afternoon, and you're at the pool again, and sure enough, the girl, that 10-year-old girl, is back. And this time, she's making her way up the tower again. There's a little more determination in her steps as she's making her way up to the top of the tower. And she gets to the top, and she goes out again on the diving board, and there's that same apprehension. And she gets to the edge of the board, and once again, she's immobilized in fear. She just kind of stands there, and 10 seconds seems like 10 minutes. And she makes her move again. She spins around and walks off the board, but then stops. And this time she turns around and comes back to the edge of the board. And you're cheering her on. You don't know her, but you're going, oh, I hope this is the moment. And sure enough, this 10-year-old girl dives in. Likely the worst dive you've ever seen in your life. It's really not a dive. It's a belly flop right into the pool. And there's that momentary pain that she experiences. But she comes out of the water, lifts her head up, and has the biggest smile that you've ever seen. She did it. The very next day, you're at the pool again. And there's this girl. And this time, she's racing up the tower. And she doesn't dive just once. She dives 5 times. She dives 10 times. And by her 10th time, you're going, she's pretty good. She's getting it. And you ask yourself, maybe I've seen in the transformation in this girl's life this week, the making of an Olympic diver. Day one, failure. Day two, some progression. Day three, she's diving in. We've been looking at this series called Thrive, and I've wrestled with a question all the way along. Maybe you wrestle with it. The basics as to what it means to thrive are very standard. Embrace the gospel, embrace the grace of God. We've looked at the idea of being committed to, surrendering, and yielding to Jesus Christ. The real key to thriving in our spiritual life is to be obsessed with, to be wholeheartedly committed to Jesus. So what holds you back? What holds me back? Why are there so few Christians filling our churches who are truly thriving in their spiritual journey? Have you ever felt like that young girl on her first day of diving? That you're on the edge of the diving board, but you're holding back. You're resisting. You are reluctant to dive in and to experience all that Christ has for you. And we're going to wrestle with that issue this morning. We've got 3 vignettes for you. And in each of these cases, you're going to be asked to see if you can identify with the characters that you will see before you. The first vignette comes out of the Bible. It's in 2 Kings chapter 5. And there's a man, his name is Naaman. He is the commander of a large army. He has got lots going for him. He is a very successful commander of the army. He is a fellow who has a great amount of wealth. He's got everything going for him, but he has leprosy. And in Bible times, leprosy is often a metaphor for being spiritually unwell. And I think there's some real lessons we can learn from Naaman's experience. He is directed to go for help with his leprosy to a prophet named Elijah. But you'll see that Naaman was reluctant to dive into the River Jordan. I think the story might have gone something like this.
The big deal is, one, I command thousands and not one of them, no one tells me what to do. Two, he could have shown me the respect that I deserve by coming himself instead of sending that servant rodent to do his job for him. And third, we have the cleanest waters in our own lands. I can simply wash there.
With all due respect, sir, can I speak to you as a long-time trusted friend, or must I refer to you as my commander-in-chief?
A good friend, of course. Good heavens, we played together as children.
I'm aware of that, sir, but you're still my commander-in-chief. Okay. Friend, can I comment on the statements that you've made? One, it's true, no one tells you what to do. But you have leprosy. Two, the prophet did show you some respect. He gave you a solution. Sure, his approach and his ways weren't your ways. But you have leprosy, and he doesn't. Three, yes, our rivers are the cleanest in the entire world, and you have washed in them. How's that working for you? You still have leprosy.
I know. What do I do then?
Dive in!
I could break my neck. Can't I just stick my toe in? Wouldn't that work?
Is that what the prophet said? Are you still going on your own way? You still have leprosy.
Fine. There. I'm in. Okay? Are you satisfied?
No, you need 7 ducks.
What?
You need to fully commit. You need to dive in 7 times.
I am not going to do something
ridiculous.
Fine!
Do it your own way. How's that working for you? Still have leprosy.
Naaman, his story, as I said, is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's interesting because actually it was a little servant girl who came to Naaman. She'd been taken captive from Israel, which at that time was occupied by the Samaritans. And this little servant girl said to Naaman, you need to go to a prophet. His name is Elijah. It's interesting, when you read the story 2 Kings 5, maybe later today, you'll discover that Naaman loved to do things his way. So he actually got a letter from his king for the king of Israel. And instead of going to Elisha, he went to the king of Israel. Of course, he goes to the king of Israel, and the king goes, well, how do you expect me? What ability do I have to get rid of your leprosy? What's interesting is that Elijah hears of this, and he says, have Naaman and his servants come to see me. Of course, Naaman expected he'd get the royal treatment. Elijah would come out and honor him, and instead, Elijah sent out a couple of his servants with a very unusual instruction. If Naaman wants to be healed of his leprosy, he needs to go to the River Jordan, still not regarded as the cleanest water in the world. Go into the River Jordan, duck 7 times in the water, and you'll be cleansed. You will experience healing. In the account of 2 Kings 5, actually, Naaman was quite upset because he thought that Elijah would do some kind of magical thing, that there would be some kind of experience, some kind of waving of the hands, and he would be healed. It's kind of like people who feel that thriving in the Christian life should be experience-driven. And we sure discovered last week that it's character-driven. We're to put on the very new wardrobe that's ours in Christ. Virtues of obedience and holiness. But Naaman, as I said, was a fellow used to having things his own way, and that seemed to be his motivation. But he realized that he had a choice to make, and that choice was to either go his way or to surrender to God's way, communicated to him through the prophet Elijah. And the breakthrough, if you read the account of 2 Kings 5, is when Naaman didn't just dip his foot in, but very simply says he ducked himself into the River Jordan 7 times. Hey, you need to read the whole story because he goes back to Elijah. He had come with all kinds of gold and silver, and he goes, I'm so glad, I'm so grateful. Will you accept? And Elijah comes back and basically says, there's no strings attached. This is something I've done. It's a gift of grace. If you know the rest of the story, actually, there's a servant of Elijah's that hears all this. And when Naaman leaves to go back to his country, the servant of Elijah tracks Naaman down and says, well, you know what? I could use a little bit of help here or there, and I need a little bit of money here or there. And in fact, when Elijah got wind of this, it turns out that this servant was stricken with leprosy and his whole family. No strings attached. It's a gift of grace. And for Naaman, the key was realizing that he could live life on his terms and still have this problem of leprosy. Or he could yield to the ways of God and discover what it is to be cleansed and to be made new. It says his skin was like that of a child. And that's the offer to us when we simply yield to God and we simply say, God, it's your terms. Well, there's another story, another vignette we'd like to present to you. And this is recorded in John chapter 5. And it is actually by a pool. It's a pool at Bethesda. I've actually been there. I've seen the relic. It's quite the place. And at that pool, there was a lot of people who were sick and had diseases and infirmities, and they were laying by the pool. There was a superstition that if you could get into the water while an angel kind of had the water twirling around, you'd experience healing. Did that happen? I'm not going to say that it didn't, but there was a fellow who was around that pool. He had been an invalid for 38 years, and all we know in the account is that he had been there around that pool a long time, waiting for his turn, trying to be first in line for this kind of healing. I think his story when he encountered Jesus might have gone something like this.
Wow, this guy looks strange today. There's no wind. The creepy quiet. Hey! Maybe this could be the day that we're all been waiting for. The day that the angel comes and stirs up the water. Wow. Okay. Now, if I quickly scoot between that blind guy over there and that woman missing the foot over there, and I take off from about there, and I do this beautiful swan dive into the pool before anyone notices, I'll be first, and I'll be healed. How cool would that be? Wait a minute. The water's not calm anymore. It's beginning to churn. I think this is it. I don't see the angel, but he's got to be there.
Oh dear.
Wait. I'm not ready. I got to fold everything up. I got to get ready. I need help. Oh, others have help. I don't have any help. I'm all alone. Wait, I'm coming. I'm coming. No. Oh, someone jumped in before me. Oh, it happens every time. Just as I'm coming, someone jumps in before me and I get ripped off. Oh! Well, wait a minute. He didn't fold up his stuff. He just dove right in the pool. How can he do that? That's not fair. He's not following the rules. You can't just dive right in.
There's some interesting similarities and differences with Naaman and this fellow by the pool. Naaman had a lot of help. Naaman had servants. Naaman had a little servant girl who directed him to Elisha. This fellow sitting by the pool was all alone. And maybe that's how you kind of feel when it comes to your spiritual journey. There's times where you kind of feel all alone. And Naaman, for him, back in 2 Kings 5, we discover that he felt there were a lot of other solutions. This poor fellow sitting by the pool felt there was no hope, there was no solutions. He felt actually that life had handed him a raw deal. It's not fair. Maybe you look at other Christians and you go, that person's thriving. Why am I not thriving? I've been a Christian longer than that person. I've been a believer longer than she has been. Why is she thriving and I'm not? What's fascinating to me about the story in John 5 is that things are going to change radically for this man when Jesus comes by, and he's not suggesting that the invalid fellow jump into the pool, but he is definitely inviting this fellow to trust what Jesus had to say. Jesus prefaced this with a question. Jesus asked the question of this man, profound question, do you want to get well? I love that question. And very quickly, this man responded by saying, well, let me give you all the reasons I'm not well. No, Jesus actually was asking, don't you love that? When Jesus asks a yes or no question, and this fellow, sometimes like us, had all kinds of reasons why he wasn't well. I find in counseling one of the very breakthrough questions I love to ask, because it's simple yet so profound, is, well, do you really want to get well? And the problem for this fellow who'd been sitting by the pool for such a long time was his life became defined by these excuses, all the reasons why he wasn't well. It didn't seem fair. It didn't seem that people in life were playing by the rules. But Jesus said, do you want to get well? And then in a profound way, Jesus, who in John chapter 4, we're told, is the one who is the source of living water, Jesus invites this fellow to trust him. And Jesus simply says, pick up your mat and walk. And the fellow picked up his mat and experienced healing. Just as you and I can experience healing when we put aside our excuses. All the reasons we might say, here's 101 reasons why I'm not thriving in my Christian life. And we say, Lord, I am going to commit my life to you. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to put my trust in you. So we've looked at Naaman. We've looked at this fellow who was sitting by the pool, his story recorded in John 5. And maybe you're going, I can really identify with Naaman. I struggle a bit with pride and arrogance. Or you might say, I identify with the fellow by the pool. I struggle a lot with feeling very alone in my spiritual journey. In both the cases of Naaman and the fellow by the pool, they tried to come to terms with God on their own standards and their own sense of what was right. Do you ever negotiate with God? Do you ever try to make deals with God? And may that be the reason why there is a reluctance on your part to truly dive in. Let's see if you can identify with this third and final vignette.
Hello? Well, I'm here. Yes, it has taken me a long time to get here. But I'm here. I even put on a tie for the occasion. Pretty good, eh? So? Okay, well, maybe we'll get down to business. Okay, here's the deal. You need to keep my family safe, free from harm and accident. You need to provide for me and my family. Give us a little more than we have right now. You know, we don't want to say no to the kids. You know what that's like. Oh yes, and you need to provide good jobs for my wife and I. Jobs where we're productive and where we do well, where we're well-liked. Oh, and of course, where we make a lot more money. Oh, yes, and well, it goes without saying, but you need to make us a happy family. You need to get good grades for my kids and make my wife more loving. Oh, yes, and finally, you need to make me live to a ripe old age. And I want to be happy. None of this grumpy old man for me. Well, that about covers it. Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot. What's in it for you? Well, I will come to church every Sunday. Well, most Sundays. Unless it's really nice out or my favorite team is playing. And I am willing to be generous, but to a point. I don't want to get carried away with things. Let's see. Well, I'm willing to give on a regular, well, somewhat regular basis. Why don't we just say 5% and see how it goes from there? Okay, well, that covers it now. Pardon? I don't think I heard you correctly. If we want to be free from harm, we need to look out and be careful ourselves. If we want a different lifestyle, we have to plan for it. And kids need to hear no. It's character building. Really. And if I want a happy life and a happy wife, I need to change and to work towards it? Come on. What? If I want to be truly happy at any age,
I need to get my relationship right with you? Come on now! If I want to live a truly happy life, I have to submit to you as my Lord and Savior? This is ridiculous! Why, if I did that, then I wouldn't be master of my own fate. I wouldn't be captain of my own destiny. I'd have to be completely reliant on you. What kind of deal is that?
I'm not sure I liked that vignette. Because we had articulated for us how we often negotiate and deal with God. It's pretty simple. The Lord says, if you want to thrive, you need to yield, you need to surrender to me. And all of us know there are times every day, every week, where we wrestle with, am I in control? Am I the boss of my life? Or am I truly willing to submit in every area and aspect of life? I will submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Here's how I see it. I don't meet a lot of Christians who are like the little girl on the diving board on the third day. I meet more Christians, and I look at situations in my own life where you feel very much like that little girl on the first day. Oh, you've climbed the tower, you're on the diving board, maybe you've got 1 foot or both feet dangling over the edge, but you can feel the resistance. You can feel the apprehension. You go, I don't want to be radical about my faith. I don't. I'm not a fanatical kind of person. And Jesus comes along and says, that's not what it's about. If you want to thrive, if you want to know what it is to live a fruitful, thriving, flourishing, productive Christian life, you got to dive in. And I love imagery. And the imagery I see in your lives and in my life is someone very nervous, maybe kind of scared, dealing with lots of issues in life. You've read books on diving. You know the principles of diving. But now you need to take that step. That sense of reckless abandonment, crying out, Jesus, I do believe you can be trusted. And this morning, I am diving in. I'm going to ask Karsten to play a song for us, and then at the end we're going to just give you an opportunity for some reflection and some decision making. This is a song popularized by Stephen Curtis Chapman.
The river's wide. committed to life, and it can fill an empty soul and give a heart the only thing worth living and worth dying for. Yeah. But we will never know the awesome power of the grace of God until we let ourselves get swept away into this holy flood. So if you'll take my hand, we'll close our eyes and count to three and take the leap of faith. Come on, let's go.
Song. So my question to you is, do you want to live the rest of your life as a casual Christian? And believe me, if you say yes to that, you will be joining a whole lot of people who've settled for that. Or do you want to experience the abundant life that Jesus said can be ours when we fully yield, when we fully surrender to Christ? I have this image that a lot of us are stuck on the diving board, and we've been there for a while. And this morning, you can hear the voice of Jesus, even through the vignettes this morning, through the songs we've sung, inviting you to dive in. Are you nervous? Some of you going, my knees are shaking. My heart feels heavy. Can Jesus be trusted? Can you really surrender every aspect in your life to Him? This morning, my challenge to you is to dive in. Or maybe you dived in a few years ago, but recently you found yourself immobilized on a diving board in life. This morning, I want to invite you to experience the abundant, flourishing, wonderful life that Christ has for us. If you want to thrive, you've got to dive. Say that with me. If you want to thrive, you got to dive. And as you stand now, and as we spend a couple of moments together, I'm just going to ask you to... I don't know anybody who can dive sitting down, actually, when I think of it. So what I'm asking you to do is to just imagine yourself. I think the Lord uses a lot of parables and a lot of metaphors in the Bible. And so this metaphor of diving is a very good one. And so just as you close your eyes and you picture yourself on the diving board, of life. And you've got a pastor and some other people around you going, oh, I hope this is the day that she's going to dive in. Oh, he's been dabbling at the faith for a long time. I'd love to see. I'd love to see that fellow. I'd love to see her dive in today. I'm just going to ask you in a new and fresh way to embrace Jesus for who he is. We've celebrated this wonderful Savior and Lord, the one who is alive. Yield your life to Jesus. Surrender to him. Say yes to Jesus even today. So bow your head, close your eyes, and in about 30 seconds I'll pray. So reluctant. Why is there such great resistance on our part? Maybe it's because we want to be in control. We want to be the masters of our lives and destiny. Father Jesus said, follow me. Lay down your rights and what you think are your terms and yield and surrender to me. Father, you know where we're all at. And some of us, as we stand on the diving board of life, are going, but I've got this reason and that reason and a few other reasons why diving in is difficult. And Father, I just pray that you would soften our hearts where there's stubbornness and resistance. I pray, Father, that we would actually experience what it is to dive into your grace and your love and into the very person of Jesus Christ. And Father, some of us need to count the cost, because when we are diving in, life will change. But Father, some of us are tired of being stuck on that diving board, feeling like we're not really progressing in our Christian life. So Father, today, help us to obey your words and to realize and recognize that to thrive, we need to be willing to dive in. Father, we thank you for Jesus and all he means to us, who he is. And I pray that all glory, honor, and praise will go to Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Hey, will you sing a little chorus with me just as we're dismissed? How many of you know the chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus? Is it a song you only sing once? Or is it a song that we can sing as a bit of an anthem after our service today? Let's sing it a couple of times too. We'll just sing that little verse in the song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let's sing those words once again. I have decided to follow. Service, there will be some who will be glad to join you in prayer. If you say, John, I'd really appreciate prayer on the basis of what we heard this morning, it might be an issue in your life. That's available afterwards. Let's take advantage of a time in the foyer after the service. Make a real point of being kind and loving to those around you. Look at the person who may be like the guy by the pool who feels he's all alone. Let's show the love of Christ to one another in our time afterward. Next Sunday, it's going to be a great Sunday. We're going to be looking at a passage in Revelation. Because to thrive, we really need to experience a revival. And we're going to be looking at that next Sunday. The Campbells will be here, and there's soup and sandwich. And that's it's not just soup and sandwich. We always have a great time at the Soup and Sandwich Fellowship. So join with us next Sunday. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.